And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Saturday Night Wine Stream. This is Drink with Rick. I am Rick. I am your host tonight on this wine stream. And tonight we're going to open a very interesting wine, I hope. This is a Massimo Rivetti. This is a, Langhe. It's a 2015. I picked this up at Wine Store, my favorite shop, Wine Store in Blakeney. Sit right here for just a minute because you can see it now because we've enlarged. I have a brand new desk here, brand new desk in the studio. If you've seen some of the pictures, you've probably noticed that I have made some enhancements to the studio, and we have this brand new desk, really nice, a lot more area to work with. This is not just for the Drink with Rick wine stream, but it's also for a lot of other things that we do in the studio, such as the Free Stuff Show that I do with Tommy. So it gives us both a lot more room. We'll be doing more podcasting here, and I'll be going more into that later. But I'm really excited about doing it because I just have... I was really cramped before. It was really cramped on this desk and trying to open up wine, trying not to spill anything on anything else, and trying not to make a mess in general. And this is a lot more spacious. This gives me more room to work with during the stream. Anyway, so we have this Massimo Rivetti Family Farm, a Garrison. It's a 2015. It's a Langhe, and I think that's how it's pronounced. This is an Italian wine, and the ladies at the wine store said, you know, if you buy this bottle, you really need to take this along with it. The little thing that goes on the bottle, and they said it really would make the wine stream a lot nicer, and I agree. I think it's really nice addition to the bottle. Anyway, according to this, it gets 91 points from jamessuckling.com. Really, jamessuckling.com. So this is a 50% Cabernet, 50% Merlot blend, and I do love cabs, a good cab, and I do love a good Merlot. So this should be very interesting. I have not tried this wine. Now, normally, you know, when I go to wine store or some of the other places, I buy a wine based on a little tasting that I've done there. And they didn't have a tasting for this one. This was one that I just walked in the store and I said, you know, I need something for Saturday night. And she said, well, here, I might have something here that would work for the wine stream this weekend. So I thought, well, you know what? I'll take a chance on it. They have not steered me wrong on a recommendation yet. I hope they won't do that tonight. In any case, it should be a lot of fun to open it up and try it out. And we will do that in just a few moments. As you know, you can watch me here on if you're watching on Facebook, and I don't see, doesn't look like we have anybody in the chat just yet, but if you're watching on Facebook, join in the chat. Join me with whatever you're drinking, or you don't have to be drinking. You can just join me and we'll chat. We'll talk about stuff. And I have some things to talk about. I was thinking about some things earlier today that I wanted to tell you about, and I did write them down. So, you know, this is a stream of consciousness type of show, and it is. It's just I want to make sure that I'm on the right stream, on this wine stream. So I've written a few notes down for me to remember things so I can kind of keep my thoughts straight during this stream of consciousness. So you can watch me here on Facebook. You can also watch me on YouTube. And I don't know that usually don't get people into the chat per se, but we are live on YouTube right now. We are, I've got something going up on Periscope, but I'm not tweeting it out tonight. I just didn't really have time. You know, we got started a little bit late because I had some audio issues, or what I thought were audio issues. And I'll explain that later, but it turned out that it was really just on my end. I really couldn't hear the audio. So I was struggling trying to get the audio going here, and then realized, oh, it's just on my end. You guys could still hear the audio, but I just couldn't. So that's why it took us a few minutes to get started. Technical difficulties, you know. It's always something. Well, there's a reason for that. I had a reason for that. Now, once I get everything else set up in the studio, there'll be no reason for it whatsoever, for the most part, as long as something doesn't go poof on me or get fried or something. But I've been doing some upgrades in the studio, and because of this, I had to sort of take my setup apart. I had to disassemble the cameras and the whole streaming setup. And then I reassembled everything to this evening before I started the stream. But apparently, I didn't get everything assembled as much as I thought. I had one or two loose ends that I had to take care of. So I did find those. Anyway, I digress. We're not here to listen to me talk about technical glitches. We're here to watch me open and drink this, and hopefully. This will be a really good wine. As I mentioned before, you can watch me here on Facebook. Join me in the chat. You can watch me on YouTube. Join me in the chat there. I am watching that chat. I'm checking on that. And I don't have the Twitter thing going tonight, but you can watch me in either one of those. You can also watch me at my website live at drinkwithrick.com. That's drinkwithrick.com. You can see the address, the URL there in the lower third. And, of course, you can always contact me about the show before, during, or after the show at rick@savoyamedia.com. You can also contact me Twitter. We're on Twitter. It's at Drink with Rick on Twitter, and a Facebook page. You can watch live on the Facebook page at Drink with Rick, and I am on Instagram. So got a drink. I haven't started this. You know, I haven't started drinking yet. You can watch me on Instagram at Drink with Rick. And, of course, you can hear the podcast, too. You know, we've got the podcast going. It's a few episodes behind the stream here because I'm trying to catch up with previous episodes. But you can catch the podcast on demand anytime. We're on Stitcher. We're on Blueberry. We're on where else are we? We're on Spotify. We're all over the place. So you can catch the podcast anytime on demand and listen at your leisure to Drink with Rick. Well, I've introduced the wine, and we'll talk about it a little bit more here. Let me pull up what I have here for one. No, I don't have it. I don't have it tonight. But okay, this is the bottle. And normally I have the images there, but I forgot to put the photos in there tonight. I took pictures of them, but I didn't get the photos in. Let me go ahead and read what's on the back here. There's not much. It's Garrison 2015 red wine, and a lot of this is in Italian. It's a product of Italy from Massimo Rivetti family farm. It is 13.5% alcohol by volume, according to the label. And it's a 50% Merlot, 50% Cab, and apparently 91 points from jamessuckling.com. You can check that out. I have not been to that site, but you can check it out if you like. We'll go ahead and open this, and we'll talk about the wine some more, because that's what we're here to do, right? To talk and drink, mostly drink, I guess. And talk. So we're going to open this up. Let me get this started. Now, opening this bottle of wine, I'm going to use my little cutter. It was part of the set that I got. My favorite bottle opener here. And I'm going to open it up right here, and you can see it. Now, let me get a close-up of this a little bit. So I got a little close-up. There we go. And I'll put this on like so. Yeah. Open the. There we go. It came out nice and easy, didn't it? And then we'll move this over just a minute. And then we'll dispose of the cork. And this was a little tough to get out, though. There we go. Got it. And we'll let the wine breathe for just a moment. I love this thing. This is great. This is a lot of fun. This corkscrew, this opener. Anyway, we're going to let this breathe a little bit. And to help it breathe as we pour it, we're going to use my Veneto Veneto, is part of a package here I've done here. It is part of the Wine Lover set. It is the aerator. I think it's in there nice and snug. All right, so we're going to pour this, and we are going to pour it, as I often do, in my Cooper's Hawk Genuine Crystal glass from the Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant in Orlando, Florida. So we're going to pour this. And so far it looks nice and clear. I'm just going to pour a little bit to get started. There we go. And we're going to give it a good swirl and see what it swirls. I want to be careful on this table because it's a brand new table and I want to scratch up the surface right away. Hopefully I'm not going to do that. We're going to give it a good swirl. And let's see. Whoa, yeah, the lights are kind to us tonight. It looks like I can see some rivulets forming. And it is nice and clear. It's a little dark complexion and it looks full bodied. It's what I would expect from a Cab and Merlot combination. It has it does have some sediment in it. Let's see, a little bit of sediment. I can see that. Or there's that air, mostly air bubbles. Okay, it looks like it might be just a little bit of sediment in there. So let's give that a good whiff. It's a very interesting mix. Fairly nice bouquet. I can't really tell what it's fruity, of course, as it would be on the Merlot side. It's supposed to be a little bit oaky, but I tell you what, I smell a lot of fruit in it. Wow. Okay, now this is this is very interesting. No, it didn't go down bad. It was just me. I'm just clearing my throat. The first taste, I tasted a lot of different flavors in here, but a couple of things that stood out very strongly. I'm going to try that again. Ooh, yeah. Really strong on the cherry flavor. Let me pull up some. Let's see what I got on this wine here. There's not a whole lot on this wine right now. I'm looking at Vivino's site, and they get a 3.7 out of 5-star rating, 96 ratings. But they say they don't have it on for sale yet. And you know what? From what I'm reading here, that was the big overpowering taste I had there was cherry. It was really strong on the cherry, and I wasn't expecting it to be that strong. But according to this, yeah, they're saying it's a powerful cherries and oak and licorice and leather. I don't really taste any. I don't really taste much of those things. I'm really not getting maybe a hint of oak, but I'm not really getting the licorice or the leather or any spices of any sort. All I'm getting is a strong, strong note of cherry. I mean, definitely strong cherry. And I'll tell you what I excuse me, clear my throat here. What I'm getting here, strong cherry. That's really interesting because I love cherry, and as I've said many times, I love cherry. And this is probably the most the strongest cherry taste I've had in a wine in a long, long time. I mean, usually I'll get hints of cherry and hints of blackberry and some other spices and things like that. Maybe maybe a little bit of blueberry and maybe a little bit of, I've even had wines that had hints of other berries like strawberry and boysenberry and things like that. But, once again, that's just my throat tonight. But wow, it's definitely the cherry is strong. The cherry is strong with this one. It really is. And I can really smell it. It's very strong. Yeah, it's still there. Usually after the first taste or two, that flavor sort of subsides a bit, but it's really not. I mean, it was really strong the first taste. It subsided a little bit, but it's still very, very strong. I like it. I like it. I'm surprised. I mean, I kind of thought, once again, when it was recommended to me, I thought, well, this should be interesting to try. I didn't know what to make of it because I did not have a tasting before this. But so I didn't know what to expect. But I would say that this, I really, this is nice. Now, this wine is supposed to, from what I understand from checking it online, some of the places that recommend it, that it's supposed to go with beef, pasta, some wild game. But this almost makes it, just because of the strong hints of cherry, I think this almost makes a good party wine, a good dessert wine, in my opinion. But that's just because I happen to like the cherry notes. I really do. Very nice. I think this is a good wine to pretty much serve at parties, huh? You know, just to almost to have a dessert. And it's not a sweet wine. I mean, when people, you know, if people think of dessert wines, they think, oh, it's got to be sweet. A dessert wine doesn't really have to be sweet. I'm not a big fan of sweet wines, but there are some wines that I would drink after dinner. This, and that's what I mean by dessert. I wouldn't necessarily have this with a dessert, but what I would do is have this as an after dinner wine as well as with dinner. And of course, I've already had my dinner, so that works out just fine for me. And I'm going to pour some more because it looks healthy. It's very, very dark complexion, as you can see. But it's clear. I mean, it's dark, but it's clear. No real artifacts in it or anything like that. I really like this. This is pretty good. So definitely, I think I can already say that I recommend this wine. I'm impressed. I have to say that I'm rather impressed with it. Now, to go with the wine, we'll see what it pairs with for sure, because to go with this, I have tonight, I don't have any pasta tonight, and I think this would go good. This is another wine, and I think we tried one, was it the Tradition? I think it was, that I thought would go really good with a pasta, like a lasagna, or something that had a meat-based, or you know, something that had a meat in the gravy in the sauce, that's something that I think this would go well with. I don't know that this would not go well, I don't think, with a tomato only. Well, it might be okay with the tomato only pasta, but I think it would be good. I think it would be better if it's with a pasta with meat in it. That's what my personal taste. Now, tonight I have some, I'm going to hold this up so you can see it, but I have a plate of beef summer sausage, some turkey pepperoni, and some Parmesan cheese. I also have a nice little treat tonight, and I'm going to try it a little bit later. I don't know that it would go so much with this wine, but it is Italian. And this Italian cookie, the pizzelle. I've got a story about that. I don't know if I'm going to have time for it tonight, but I love pizzelles, and I think it's going to be a good, I think it's going to be a good cookie to try out. Like I said, I don't know if I would drink it with this wine per se, but it might be okay. It might be okay. Let's see what else we've got. Let's see if we have anyone else in the chat just yet. We are live, right? So if anyone's watching, if you can see me, let me know. Say hi and tell me what you're drinking. Tell me what you're not drinking. Tell me what you like to be drinking. Tell me what you'd like to see me drink, and I'll give it a try. Now, my sister Gina is, I believe, en route to Ohio for a... I think she's already there for a... class reunion for her high school reunion. And I could talk about that, but I'm not going to talk about that. Well, I guess I could. You know, high school reunions. I think I told you in a previous wine stream about my high school days and how they were not the most fun days. My sister, I was not a very popular kid in school, and until about the last year of high school, then people got to know me better and pretty much based on a film that my buddies and I made in high school that made the rounds and was quite popular. But when I was in high school, generally I was sort of an underdog. I was not popular. In fact, I was one of the geeky kids, one of the nerdy kids in school. And in that day, back in the 70s, mid 70s, geeky kids were not cool. That was before computers came along and the internet came along and Dungeons and Dragons and all this stuff. When geeks started to become cool, you know, when Revenge of the Nerds came out and that people started saying, hey, you know, maybe nerds are cool. But I don't know if that's what did it, but it was a fun movie. But when I was in high school, being a geek was not cool at all. My sister, on the other hand, she was quite popular. She was popular. A popular person all the way around. She kind of had that personality. She made a lot of friends a lot easier than I did, I think, in a lot of ways. She was more outgoing, I guess, and I was a little bit more introverted in a sense. But being popular, you know, when I went to my high school reunion, and it was pretty much organized by the popular cliques in the school. So when I went to my high school reunion, it was people kind of forgot who I was, and they never really knew me anyway, but they kind of forgotten who I was. And I just, once again, I hung out with the other guys that I hung out with in school that were also kind of in that class of what my classmates would have referred to at the time as kind of nerdy or geeky or not the cool crowd, you know, not the high school jock and not the cheerleader and not the, you know, the popular kids. I wasn't part of that crowd. So when I went to my high school reunion, it was memorable in the sense that there were some kids there that weren't kids anymore. It was my 10-year high school reunion is when I went to. And they were growing up and they were doing their own thing. And they had sort of forgotten, a lot of them have forgotten about the silly stuff of in high school. And it was a little different atmosphere than from when I was in high school. So the people had changed a little bit. And I think in some ways the people were a little bit more down to earth in some ways. The ones that were still around, now a lot of the kids that used to pick on me in high school, I didn't see a lot of them because some of them were either in jail or they were dead. because they got into trouble in one way or another. And those were the ones that I had trouble with, and they were the ones that wound up being in trouble. But a lot of the rest of the school, the popular kids, they didn't really know me that well, so they didn't really remember me that much. So it was just weird. It was a little surreal. Going to my high school reunion, my 10-year high school reunion, was surreal. It really was. And then later on, when I think we had our 35th or 30th, I think it was 30th high school reunion, I got an email and they said, hey, there's our 30th high school reunion. By that time, I left Orlando and I was living up here, and I was thinking, do I really want to make the drive? Most of the kids in high school that I hung out with, I've been lifelong friends with, and we got together anyway. We get together and we hang out, we do things anyway. So I see them as it is. I didn't really need a high school reunion to go see them. And so for me, going to the high school reunion, I just didn't see the benefit to making that long drive, you know, driving 8 hours down, staying for a couple of days, driving 8 hours back up just to see some people that barely knew me and people I barely knew I knew them. I knew who they were, but most of them really didn't pay much attention to me or knew me or anything or care that much. So to me, it just didn't seem worth the trip. Now, I have made the trip several times to go see my high school friends that we had our own little clique going. We still do, that have been lifelong friends. And I go down to see them, you know, and some of them have come up to see me. And we're still really good friends, almost like a brotherhood. And I really enjoy that. And that part I got in high school, but to go to the whole class reunion for me just wasn't. I just didn't really see the return on that. That's just me. But for my sister Gina, who I'm sure was very popular in high school because she was popular everywhere else, at church and everyone else. She is a very outgoing person. She makes friends everywhere, and she has a huge circle of friends. And that's one of the things I've always admired her to be for, is be able to do that easily, and she's a great person. So I can see how she can make friends easy because she's just a really great outgoing person. So for her to go to this reunion, it's got to be a big deal for her, and I'm sure it is. And I hope she's going to have a great time there. I'm sure she will. And Gina, here's to you. Have a great time there and have a safe trip back. And in the meantime, I'll enjoy some more of this wine. Now, I went too long on that because I really didn't want to get into a whole thing about high school. I don't have a lot of good memories about high school, to be honest. I have a few, but not too many. And this will help me forget. But I do want to say some interesting things this weekend. Of course, it was 4th of July. Thursday was 4th of July. And a big celebration. That's great. An anniversary of the founding of our country, our country's birthday. And since I was not, now I did drink some wine on the 4th of July, but I wasn't doing it live on the live stream, so on the wine stream. So let me say, happy birthday, America. We have all the colors too. We have the red. We have, and this one, here we go. We use this for the white and then the blue. There we go. Have all the colors. Also on the 4th of July, it was, and I think I mentioned this in last week's wine stream. On Thursday, on the 4th of July, it was also my Aunt Connie's birthday. And my Aunt Connie turned 102 years old. She made it to 102. I think that's a really amazing accomplishment. And we did Skype with them briefly on Thursday evenings and got to say happy birthday. And I heard that she had a nice, really nice birthday dinner at the Shady Maple restaurant, Smorgasbord. That's the I've mentioned that before. That's the huge buffet smorgasbord in up in the Lancaster area, and it's an amazing place. If you've never been to the Shady Maple, I highly recommend it. The Fonz likes it. Henry Winkler ate up there sometime back, and he gave it two thumbs up. So, and I wholeheartedly agree. We've eaten there a number of times, and it's always been a great experience. I love that place, and I really particularly like the Amish butter cheese. Just practically melts in your mouth. They have, I think it's Wednesday nights. If Pete was here, he'd be able to tell me for sure. They have prime rib night, and it's all you can eat prime rib. And that is pretty amazing. It's amazing on its own. Anyway, she had a nice feast up there for her birthday. And 102 years old, that's really something. And you know what? She is not a wine drinker. She is not, you know, they say wine will help preserve you, but she is not a wine drinker, and she's Italian. She is a genuine 100% Italian, and she is not a wine drinker. And she still gets in the kitchen, though, and makes her huge meatballs, spaghetti and meatballs with her gravy. So she calls her sauce or gravy, and she I mean, it takes her all day to make it. And she actually taught the recipe to Chi, to my wife Chi. She's been down here several times, and she's taught Chi how to make some of her pasta dishes, and she's taught Chi her secret recipe for her tomato sauce, her gravy, old family recipe for gravy. And so Chi has that recipe, and she's made it a couple times. Very good, very good. And anyway, Chi and I were watching the news earlier this evening, and someone else had a birthday just the last day or two here in North Carolina. I didn't know this person personally, but she is 114 years old, oldest living person in the United States. Right now, 114 years old. That's a pretty amazing. So here's to Aunt Connie, who's 102. And here's to our oldest living person in the United States, who is 114 years old, whose name I can't recall right offhand, but cheers. And then you make it to 115. And Aunt Connie, too. And someone else, two people I'd like to toast. I'd like to make a toast to my sister Penny and my brother-in-law Tom, who are celebrating, I believe it is their 15th wedding anniversary. Their 15th wedding anniversary, 15 years. And here's to both of you, and may you have many, many, many more happy years of marital bliss. To Penny and Tom, and to Ben, my nephew Ben. And, you know, if I had more birthdays, I only wish I had more birthdays and anniversaries to toast, because this bottle would empty very, very quickly. But we're making that a tradition now, to toast birthdays and anniversaries and holidays and whatever. And if anyone else has a birthday that's just passed or is coming up or is happening now, tell me. Just, check the chat and tell me, and I'll toast you. Happy birthday to you. Well, you know, I was alerted to something earlier today that I was previously unaware of, and I wanted to pass along. I had now, for those of you know that I've done the Force Field podcast years back, and one of the things that I did for the Force Field to actually help offset some of the costs, we had I would offer free publications. That would I had an affiliate program for free publications, and I was checking that page today, that website. It's forcefield.tradepub.com is the site, and I stumbled across. I was just checking it, and I stumbled across a free publication about, and this was aimed at wineries. It was for a company that would help them. Would help them resolve issues with counterfeiting. And I did a double take when I saw this. I did a double take because I saw this thing that says it's a publication called Dry Up Your Alcohol Counterfeiting Problems. And this was from a company called Smart Track Technology. And I thought, wait a minute, wine counterfeiting? That's new to me. So this is something I did not know about. Now, they counterfeit a lot. You can pretty much counterfeit anything these days, and especially with the days with 3D printers and things like that, you can definitely counterfeit pretty much anything, and a lot of companies do, you know, and a lot of things from China, you know, counterfeit product. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem, you know, counterfeiting goods. And of course, when you think of counterfeiting, you think of, well, counterfeiting currency or counterfeiting software or license keys for Windows or something like that, you know, for Microsoft Windows, something along those lines. Counterfeiting Beanie Babies. I mean, when Beanie Babies were really, really huge, there was a serious problem about counterfeit Beanie Babies, counterfeit stuffed toys. Who knows? Who knew? But there was all kinds of counterfeit. And, of course, you've heard about the counterfeit Seiko watches and that sort of thing, counterfeit watches and the counterfeit Gucci bags and the counterfeit shoes and things like that. Okay, I was aware of all that stuff. I was even aware of, you know, because I'm in the two-way radio business. We sell two-way radios. Yeah, actually, there are two-way radios that are counterfeited. You know, fake Kenwood and Motorola radios and fake, I mean, even fake antennas for radios, replacement antennas. You get these fake Nagoya antennas, which I didn't know was a thing, but apparently it is. Well, I was aware of a lot of that stuff, but the one thing that really threw me off when I saw this today, it never occurred to me. And some of the other things that have occurred to me is I've heard of cheating on honey, you know, like cutting honey with other things to other products you know, and selling it as 100% pure honey when it's really not, and you know, cutting a lot of other foodstuffs to, you know, and you're thinking that I'm getting 100% of this or that when you're really not. Half of it's they've done that with Parmesan cheese, as a matter of fact, you know, the cheese in the shaker, where they it's a common thing to cut it with sawdust. So I was aware of all that stuff, but the one thing that never occurred to me was the possibility that you could counterfeit wine. And you know what? They do stuff with fake olive oil, even. So I guess if they can do it with olive oil and cheeses and that sort of thing, I guess they could do it with wine. I guess you can counterfeit anyway, anything. So apparently there is a problem. Apparently it's a big problem, a big enough problem that they have to put out a publication for it. And by the way, it's a free publication, so if you want to sign up for it, I'll get a few pennies on it if you want to sign up and get it, but you don't have to. It's just that's I had to get that in there somehow. But I'm going to read this thing for a second because it's just weird. To me, it's weird. For wine and spirits businesses, the global counterfeit problem is a massive and growing threat. Okay, I didn't know it was massive, but if it's already massive and now it's growing, that's pretty serious stuff. I had no idea, really. Your brand needs protection. Your bottom line needs protection. Your customers need protection. This is your biggest barrier to growth in some of the fastest growing alcohol markets in the world. And it's a free ebook, and they're going to show you a totally new way to protect your brand from counterfeiters. And it kind of throws me. I mean, okay, now it's got me wondering. Okay, is this wine real or is it fake? Is it counterfeit? Am I drinking? Is some of the wine that I've reviewed on this show, some of the wine that I've had in the past, is it counterfeit or is it cut with other liquids or other chemicals or things like that that's not wine? I don't think so. I hope not. I certainly hope not. But if this is true, if what this publication says is true, and if it really is a massive and growing threat, then maybe we have some real issues here with counterfeit wine. And I'm hoping that's a bad dream. But if it is, that would be... I better wake myself up because then I'm having to do this wine stream over again because it ain't happening right now for real. No, it's not a dream. It's apparently real. Counterfeit wine. So I'm having to second guess every sip I take. Is it real or is it counterfeit? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, there's a dock stamp. There's a dock stamp on this thing. Okay, I don't know if you can see it. You get a good image of this thing close up. Wrong camera. There's a dock stamp on here. Now, just because there's a dock stamp on there, I mean, it's possible you could have counterfeit stuff coming from other countries, and then it gets here, and we don't know. That does happen with certain foods. It does happen. It has happened with honey. I saw a documentary not too long ago. I think it was on Netflix somewhere where they were talking about that, and showing how some of the countries would take the honey, it would import it in, and they would cut it with other things that have basically the same consistency of honey, but was not honey, and would mix it in. That was kind of disturbing because I love honey, and being on my diet, I've substituted. I don't like to use a lot of the chemical sugar substitutes, or a lot of the, you know, anything, or even the stevia and stuff that's supposed to be natural. I don't like to use a lot of that. Definitely not sweet and low. I don't like to use the sugar substitutes. I don't trust them. But in order to avoid the sugar, I go for honey. I'll put honey on my oatmeal. I like to have a bowl of oatmeal every morning, and I will put honey on my oatmeal. I like honey on my oatmeal. I do that instead of sugar. But you know, I have to be careful because I want to make sure. Well, I'll go to Trader Joe's and make sure it says 100% honey. But did you know that you can't even really trust that? And I'm not saying you can't trust Trader Joe's. What I'm saying is that just because the label says it's 100% honey doesn't necessarily mean it's 100% honey. There are semantics involved with some of those things. And some of that stuff throws people when they buy juice at the store, fruit juice, and they buy this fruit juice at the store and it says made with real fruit juice. That doesn't mean it's 100% real fruit juice. It just means that they made it with real fruit juice. There could be 10% real fruit juice in there and still be 90%, you know, artificial imitation, genuine imitation, artificial, whatever in there. But if it has like 10% fruit juice, well, hey, It was made with real fruit juice. It doesn't mean it is fruit juice. It's not necessarily fruit juice. It's just made with some fruit juice in it. And they did the same thing with olive oil. They've had an issue with olive oil where it comes from different countries where they import. I mean, most olive oil, as far as I know, is imported, and it comes from different countries. And some of these countries, it's been documented, in some of the countries, some of these manufacturers, and apparently there are cartels, and I guess it gets into organized crime and all that kind of stuff, where some of these people are actually cutting the olive oil with other things. So you're not really getting, when it says 100% virgin or extra virgin olive oil, you're not necessarily getting olive oil. You're not getting 100%, maybe not 90, maybe not 50%. Maybe you're not getting any olive oil. Just tastes like olive oil. You know, you just don't know. You really don't know, because when it's imported in this country, how many controls do we actually have? We get so much stuff into this country. The people that are the customs and the folks monitoring all this stuff and checking all this stuff coming through, they can't possibly check it all. There's just no way. They can't possibly check 100% of it. So I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that gets through the country that isn't necessarily what it says it is or what we think it is. So, you know, there's a lot of concern about that. So when it comes to wine, just because it has a DOC stamp on it, does that mean that it's 100% pure wine from Italy? I mean, I hope so. I would think that most wineries and that most growers have higher standards. I mean, because there is, you know, the industry in general, this is a prestigious industry. You know what I mean? This industry has enjoyed a lot of prestige, has enjoyed a lot of, I mean, you're talking about a higher class for the most part, or what's been perceived as a higher class. Excuse me, you know, for food and alcohol. We're talking about wine here. That's a different thing, right? Apparently, according to this, it's not. So that's interesting. I need to do a little more research into this and just find out. Maybe I need to get this ebook and find out what it's all about. Apparently there's more to it than meets the eye, I guess. I would like to talk to a couple of these wine sommeliers and people that are experts in the field of wine and get their take on it. Maybe sometime we can get somebody on the show, on the wine stream, and have them do a tasting with me or do their own tasting, and we can talk to them. This isn't really set up for interviewing other people. But that would be an interesting interview to have, to really talk to somebody and just find out if this really is a problem, if counterfeiting wine is a problem, and if it is, just how prevalent the problem is, and if there's anything that we as consumers, if we really have any, what we have to worry about, if anything, what we have to worry about regarding fake wine. So far this wine tastes very real. This wine tastes very real. And once again, we're drinking a Massimo Rivette, a Garrison, I guess that's pronounced, a 2015 Langer wine. And it's by in from Italy, and it tastes pretty authentic to me. I'm really enjoying this wine. I was going to try pairing it up with some of these foods, and I probably should while I still can. Let me bring this over. I'm going to get back to the other camera. But let's try out and see how it pairs with some of these. This is a turkey pepperoni. And kind of spicy. And once again, this is supposed to go with things like beef and lamb, some Italian dishes, you know, pastas with that have meat. I would recommend it with that. It wasn't specified, but I would have it with an Italian dish with that had like a meaty sauce to it, or a lasagna, a meat lasagna. That's what I would have it with. And supposedly it goes good with game. Venison, things like that. I don't know if I'd have it with goat. I'm not. I don't eat goat meal. I don't eat goat cheese. I don't eat goat. I don't drink goat's milk. I don't eat anything that has anything to do with goat, so far as I'm concerned. But lamb, I love lamb, and this would probably go pretty well with a good lamb. It would go okay with some gamier meats, I think. It probably would. Maybe this might actually go pretty good with if you like something like elk or buffalo or something like that. Buffalo, I love a good buffalo burger. I think this would go okay with a buffalo burger. And buffalo burgers, to me, they're rich. That's a rich meat, a buffalo burger. And I've had buffalo jerky. It's a rich meat. And it can be a little, it can taste a little game, maybe a little gamey, but it's very rich. I'm going to have, I have a beef summer sausage here. I'll try it with that. I did not bring crackers with me tonight. I usually have the crackers on hand to clear the palate, but I forgot them. My bad. In my eagerness to get up here and start the stream. It's a good summer sausage. I'm going to try it with this. Yeah, I think it works pretty well. It brings out, it really enhances the flavor of this this summer sausage. Enhances the flavor. I'm going to try it with a little Parmesan. I have to say that I'm not as confident trying with this with Parmesan. I chose the Parmesan over the mozzarella. I could have had mozzarella. I chose the Parmesan. A little sharper. Another piece of that. That's good Parmesan, actually. I don't know where she got this. She probably picked it up at... I'm guessing she got this from Trader Joe's. Because she went by there yesterday. That's a good cheese, actually. That would go well in a lasagna or spaghetti. It's not bad. I wish I'd brought the crackers, though. I need the crackers to clear my palate out a little bit. But I'll tell you what, this is an excellent wine. I do give this one two thumbs up. This is a really good wine. I like this. Now, it's not available. I checked around. It's not available on Vivino.com. It's, as yet, it was, I couldn't find it on wine.com. It's at a wine store. I paid about $20. I think it was $19.99 a bottle, I think. I didn't bring the... See, I told you, I try to be prepared, somewhat prepared, but I forgot to bring the receipt in here with me. So I think it was about $20 a bottle, if I recall from memory. And my memory is not the best, but I think that's what I paid for it. And I think it's worth every penny of this. I mean, I don't always say that. You've heard my rants before about buying wine based on price. But I'll have to say, this is worth $20 a bottle. That's worth it. That's worth $20. Okay. I will say that. So if you have, $20 you want to spend on a decent wine, I would say go get this one. I really like this wine. And as you know, I don't like every wine. There's some wines that I've had that I do not like, and we've tried a couple before, and there were a couple that I did not care for too much. And you can go back and watch those videos. But this one I do, and I'm going to pick up another bottle of it. In fact, while I was there, the Baron Delay that I tried in earlier, I think it was sixth or seventh stream that we did. That I really enjoyed that wine, and I had the opportunity to pick up a couple more bottles because they got it at a special price. See, here's what they told me was that it was supposed to go. It actually was supposed to go somewhere else. I think to a Dutch company or something like that. I don't remember what the story was. They told me. And somehow they wound up with the wine, and they couldn't – it wound up with them. And they said, well, they paid us – I guess they paid a really, really nice – a good price for it. They got a really good price. So they were selling it for $7.99 a bottle. And they only, I don't know how much of it they have left. They're probably not a whole lot now, but it was a one-time deal. It was a one-time deal with the Baron Delay Varietales. Sorry. Wine's starting to kick in. Let's have some more. For those who missed the wine stream tonight, it's too bad. You might see me drink this whole, you're going to miss seeing me drink this whole bottle. For the rest of you, enjoy. So, let's see. Oh, Rob's in the chat. Rob, it's good to see you in the chat. And Rob, you know, I think I gave you a birthday shout out last week, didn't I? I think you missed it. Didn't you have a birthday? I think you did. And I believe I gave you a shout out there. I think it was you that did, Rob. Anyway, in case you missed it, happy birthday. I know a lot of Rob's, and I work with one, as a matter of fact. He's a really, really great guy, and he likes to drink as well. And so, Rob, the other Rob, if you're watching, Rob from work, here's to you also. And we were talking about the, the distillery that burned down this week. 45,000, which distillery was it? I can't remember now. But it was 45,000 barrels of bourbon. It was Jim Beam. That's what it was. It was Jim Beam Distillery. 45,000 barrels of bourbon that went up in smoke. My goodness. The humanity. Seriously, I mean, I'm only half joking there. That's pretty bad. There's going to be a shortage of Jim Beam for a while, apparently. So, but fortunately for us, we have the wine. And Rob, if you're just joining us, this is a really good wine. This was a surprise. A Massimo Rivetti Family Farm, 2015 Garrison, Langa. I never can pronounce that right. But this is an Italian wine, and it is fabulous. I mean, I really, really like this wine. You know, you've been on – I know you've seen a lot of the wine streams, most of them, and you hear most every week. And, you know, there have been a couple of wines that I didn't like as much. Let's see, the most infamous one probably I would say would be the – where is it? The Grana Passo. It was okay, but it was not great. I didn't care much for it. But this is a fantastic wine. I really like it, and it is really strong in the cherry. In fact, even now, I can still taste the cherry in this. And I love the cherry. This is a very berry wine. I really enjoy this wine. And this is good. Once again, this is good, I think. Well, they were saying that they were recommending it for things like beef and some pastas and some lamb, I think. But I think this would go good with venison, lamb. It would go good. I think it would go good with a good buffalo burger, if you like that. Go good with probably some elk, some gamier meats. This goes, I think this is fine as a dessert wine. I really like this as a dessert wine. And when I say dessert wine, I don't mean like a sweet wine, as I said earlier. I mean as a wine to have after dinner. Let me put it that way. It's a good after dinner wine or a good wine for parties. I think it would get guests talking about this wine. This is really, it's that good. I really, really like this wine. It's a 2015 too, which means that you probably, and it does have a pretty deep tip pit in it. So if you're going to drink this, I would say you probably want to drink it within the next 5 years. If you're going to buy it and store it, you could probably store this wine for a while if you have the facility to store it with, to a nice cellar or a nice wine fridge like I just got for Father's Day, which I still haven't been able to fill, by the way, because I haven't been able to keep it filled. As I was telling the ladies at the wine store the other day, I haven't been able to keep that fridge filled because I do drink a fair amount of wine. And it is a large fridge. So I do have some wines in there, some collectible wines that I have put in the fridge. But there's still plenty of room, and I need to fill that up. So the thing is, my budget doesn't allow me to do it. So maybe I can set up a Patreon. We can you can help fuel my, actually finance my wine testing, tasting. I'm not doing a Patreon just yet, okay? I'm just kidding. Not a bad idea, though, but I'm not at that point yet. I'd probably drink it before I had it on the wine stream, what can I say? But no, I don't think – I know there are some people that do not want to finance my drinking habit. And maybe there's some others that do. Okay, this wine's starting to hit, so it's starting to do its job. 13.5% alcohol by volume, if I recall correctly. Yes, look at that. My memory's not that bad yet. But this is a really good wine. I highly recommend it. Once again, I would go there. Anyway, we were talking about counterfeit wines. We were talking about, definitely this does not taste like a counterfeit. And if it is, it's a very good one. But bring on the counterfeit wine. Bring on the fake wine. This to me tastes like a genuine wine. So if there is counterfeit wine going on, I don't think it's happening here. Anyway, I would say that it probably wouldn't go too well with chicken. Talking about wines that would go well with chicken. You're talking about white Zins and Chardonnays and things like that. White wines go better with chicken. But you know what? I heard a wild story today. And in fact, I was hunting around YouTube and I came across a story that, this is just PETA. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or People for the Tasty Eating of Animals, or whatever you want to call it. I have one of those shirts, by the way. PETA, their latest thing, and I'll be honest, I'm not a, look, this is not a political show, it's not a religious show, it's just, but I do, I'm not a big fan of PETA, okay? First of all, I don't like their methods, the way they do things, the way they protest and all that sort of thing. But PETA, they've done some really, really, in my opinion, nutty things. But this has got to be the nuttiest. I ran across this today, and this has been making the news. There's a let me pull this up, as a matter of fact, because I think I have it up here. I'm actually on PETA's website right now. As a matter of fact, Boise, Idaho. There's a town in Idaho, I guess around Boise, Caldwell, I guess is the name of the town. Well, PETA sent a letter to the mayor of Caldwell. Mayor, I think his name is Garrett L. Nankulas. And they're requesting him to change the name of a road in Idaho. The name of this road, there's a road in Idaho. Apparently, it's an icon to this town in Idaho. And the name of the road is Chicken Dinner Road. I'm not kidding. Okay, this is not a joke. This is real. This is for real. There is a road. Now, of course, I've seen a lot of crazy town names and things like that, but there's a road called Chicken Dinner Road. And I'm not making this up, really. Chicken Dinner Road. And so this road, apparently, it's a popular road there. I guess it would be. if you like chicken dinner, it's chicken. Apparently, there's a story behind this. Okay, there's a story behind why it's called Chicken Dinner Road. And I'll get to that in a minute. But PETA, apparently, has caught the attention of PETA. And PETA sent a letter to the mayor of Caldwell asking them to change the name of Chicken Dinner Road to Chicken Road. And the reasoning for this, and I'm going to quote them here, right on their own website, I'm going to quote them. In this letter, they go, "Just like dogs, cats, and human beings, chickens feel pain and fear and value their own lives," says PETA Executive Vice President Tracy Reiman. PETA is asking Mayor Nankulas to change this road's name to one that celebrates chickens as individuals, not as beings to kill, chop up, and label as dinner. Before I comment on this, I need to have some more wine because I need it. Okay. First of all, once again, I've never been a big fan of PETA, but this is just over. I mean, this is just way over the top. Chicken Dinner Road. Okay, this is how they got the name. Chicken Dinner Road became Chicken Dinner Road because apparently, according to the locals there, they were trying to get the road fixed at some point. I guess they had to have it resurfaced or retopped. And so they were in contact with the governor at the time, Governor C. Ben Ross, I think is who it was. He was the governor. And they were appealing to him to see if he could use his clout, to his influence there, to see if they could send a road crew down and get the road fixed, because it needed to be fixed. Well, apparently the way they did this to get his attention was they offered him a fried chicken dinner. They said, "Look, we'll give you a fried chicken dinner if you will pay attention to us and come down and fix this road." Well, here's the thing. First of all, I think the governor, as I understand the story, the governor really didn't have this was something that the county had to do, and the governor really didn't have much say in. So there really wasn't much you can do about it. But I don't know if he ever actually got his chicken dinner or not. For doing that, but apparently that's the story behind it. So based on that story, I guess that's how the road got its name, Chicken Dinner Road. A chicken dinner to fix the road. Okay, yeah, that's fine. That's good. You know what? It's a cute, whether or not the story's true, I don't care. I mean, because it's folklore. It's a cute story. I mean, it fits. And you know what? I think it's, I think that's kind of interesting. I this is Americana. You know what I'm saying? This is an example of what Americana is. There's so many. America has so many, and that's one thing about this country that I love. It has so many little idiosyncrasies about, and so much folklore that goes into this country about how, not just from how it started and how we got our independence and how we got to where we are. You know, it's World War II, moon landings, all of our accomplishments, that sort of thing. But a lot of little stories that go into, I mean, there are towns that have really, really funny names, really bizarre names. And maybe one day we'll do a whole wine stream about that, because I've read some of these and they just crack me up. And some of them are just bizarre. And how they got their names, some of them are even more bizarre. But there's so much American folklore in there that's just fascinating. And there's a lot of charm to that. There's just something about it that's just, that has only in America stamped on it. You know what I mean? Something that's just only in America stamped on it. You know? And for somebody like PETA or some organization like PETA just come along and take something that's so much a part of folk history, folklore, just some of the, what makes this country, you know, the charm of it, the fun little things about it, and to want to uproot it, or just I guess for better, you know, just basically to ruin it, so to speak, because they have their own little agenda, you know, because they have their own little activism thing going on, and they don't care. They just want to do whatever they can to rain on the parade, to spoil the whatever charm we have left in this country. You know, it's really annoying. It really is. It goes beyond just, you know, and on the outset, this is really silly. That's, at the very least, this is a very silly story that PETA is going after to change the name of a road, because from chicken dinner to chicken, because chicken dinner seems to exploit the chicken in a negative way. But when you think about it, isn't that what PETA's doing? I mean, they have their agenda, whatever it is. Aren't they doing this to sort of to gain their own notoriety? To me, I think they're really doing this just, and this is just my opinion, of course, but I think they're doing it just to get some headlines, just to get some press, just to get their name back up there in the forefront. You know, as they say, no, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Any publicity is good publicity. And just to put themselves in the spotlight for a little while and get some attention seeking, as my wife would call it. And to me, that's basically what it is. But you think about it and you think, you know, how much money is being spent to really push this sort of agenda? And you know, you start thinking that, you know what? This goes beyond silly. This actually enters the absurd, the arena of absurd, and it's like with some of the you know, I was watching video from one of the local news stations about this. It's like, don't these people have a life? Don't these people for PETA, don't they have a life? Don't they have anything? These people have too much time on their hands. That's really what it comes down to. They have too much time on their hands going after to change names. You know what? If they really want to do something positive, they'd be going out and rescuing animals that have been abandoned, you know, and trying to find them good homes, or go out and rescue, you know, animals that got stuck in a sewage drain or something like that, and try to find the poor kitten a good home or something like that. Do something to, you know, rescue animals that have been abused, and find them good homes. that sort of thing. And, you know, something that the some of the local animal shelters were doing them. There are animal shelters around. There's animal shelters in Charlotte that are screaming for funds to help them find homes for animals so they don't have to euthanize them, you know, because they're so crowded there and they have to euthanize animals because they can't find any homes. Find a good home for this, adopt a puppy, adopt a kitty, but adopt a chicken. I don't care, but you know, look, come on, that this goes to waste their time and their energy and the resources and their money on trying to get names changed on roads because it says chicken dinner. It's beyond absurd now. It's just stupid. I mean, it really is. And I don't get me started. I'm already started. But PETA, if you're listening, look, I love animals. I'm all for animals. I'll tell you what, though, that chicken, there are chickens that were born to be raised to be chicken dinners. And that's, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that, you know, but look, if you don't like to eat chicken, that's fine. That's okay. I'm okay with that. But don't condemn me because I like to eat chicken dinners. And I tell you what, you can have a conversation with my dog. You can have a conversation with my son's dog because and ask him if he'd like to eat tofu instead of a chicken dinner. And I can tell you, he understands a lot, that dog. But if I could translate for him, I could tell you right now what he'd say. Chicken. I love chicken. I love chicken in my bowl. PETA, go find something to do that's constructive instead of trying to petition to change road names. First of all, the name of the road isn't going to what's the idea here? You change it from chicken to dinner to chicken, and all of a sudden people are going to start, they're going to stop eating chicken because you changed the name from chicken dinner to chicken? That's not going to happen, okay? How much money is going to be spent trying to change this name? How much effort is going to be made to try to get this done? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. Do something productive. Go out and take that money and try to save an animal. Save a kitten that's stuck down in a well, you know, with Timmy. Go up there and save that kitten in the tree. Go help find a loving home for an abused dog or that horse that's been neglected. You know, go do something constructive. You know, stop doing stupid stuff like this. That's all I can say. Anyway, I was on my rant. That was my rant for tonight. Chicken Dinner Road. I like the name. You know what? So let's get back to the wines that go good with chicken. Okay, White Zinfandels. Yeah. A White Zin would probably be okay. Chardonnay. A Pinot. A good Pinot Grigio would probably go fine with chicken. I bet even a Pinot Noir, which is that would probably go okay with chicken. But a good semi-dry or maybe semi-sweet red or white would go. White would go would good with chicken. I don't know too many reds. I don't think this red is a good chicken wine. But it is a very good wine, and I highly recommend it. Anyway, there was one more thing, and it's almost time for us to, what time we start this thing? Oh, it's almost time for us to end this stream. But before we go, a couple of things I want to get to because I want to make sure I have time for it. Let's see who we have in the chat. We have anyone else joining us in the chat tonight? I got on my rant. Maybe everybody left the chat. No, Rob is Rob's still there. Say hi, Rob. Let me know you're there. How you doing? And if you're still there, let me know how it's going. Anyone else joined us? I haven't checked YouTube in a while. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Let's see. We have, I'm not going to say the name, somebody there. My Aunt Connie gets so well. What? Oh, okay. I'm not going to read that. That's very interesting. I'm not reading that one. No, this is a G-rated show. So even though it's about wine, still G-rated. Anyway, where was it going? Oh yes, letters to Rick. Well, you can always contact me at rick@savoyamedia.com. If you have anything you want to say, I do have a letter here. I have a letter. I wrote it to myself. I hadn't been receiving any letters. I was getting really lonely about it. So I wrote myself a letter. It says, "Dear Rick, I really like your show." Thank you. "I like it so much, I don't think 90 minutes is long enough. I think you should do a whole 2 hours. Just so we can watch you finish the bottle of wine." Well, thank you. But I do have one question. What if the wine you choose to open, taste, and review is no good? What if it's so bad you won't drink it at all? Does the wine stream end at that point? I hope not. What would you do? What would I do? What would we all do for the rest of our Saturday nights? Regards, Rick. Well, Rick, let me tell you. If it turned out, and so far I haven't had a wine that is that bad, although I've been pretty close to it. Let's see. Oh, yes, the Gran Apostle, once again. That's the notorious. It's going to be notorious. I have not had a really bad wine because I haven't opened them. I refuse to open those bad wines. We've got a few down there, okay? But I refuse to open them right now. But let's just say hypothetically, because inquiring minds want to know. Let's say hypothetically that I open a bottle of wine in the beginning of a wine stream and it turns out to be bad. Like there's something wrong with it. Like it's not up to my... Not just that it's not up to my standards, because you know what? My standards aren't that high. I mean, if it's an okay, if it's even an adequate wine, I'll still drink it for the most part. I probably won't drink it to half. I won't drink half of it. I won't get down to as far as I've gotten this one, which is actually pretty far now. I will still drink it somewhat, unless it's really bad. Now, if it's a really bad wine, or let's say, for instance, if I open the wine up and it turns out that it's vinegar or it's been corked, something really extreme, then, of course, I will not drink that wine, which is one reason why I smell it first. But let's say, for instance, that I get a bottle like that. No, I will not drink the wine. And no, I won't end the stream early. What I will do, though, is I will pull out a bottle of wine from my reserve. And I have some wines on my reserve. Now, these are wines that I've said that I was going to try at some point. When, I don't know, but I've taste them out at some point. And I do keep some handy. I always keep some wine handy. These are full bottles of wine right here. And if you notice, there's an empty slot there because I pulled this one out of it. But there are wines that I do keep handy so that just in case, if if the worst scenario happened, in a worst case scenario, and I opened up a bottle of wine and it was corked or it was bad vinegar, whatever it was, and I did not have a wine to drink on the Saturday night wine stream, I would instantly grab one of these bottles of wine, pull it out, and open it as a secondary wine to taste and review. And that is what I would do. And that way, no worries. The wine stream would continue on with the show, as they say. The show must go on. And it will, because I'll have backup. I have backup wines. I have them on backup. So no worries. We're all covered. Everything is good. We'll continue with the Saturday night wine stream. So I hope that clears that up. And I hope everyone's and of course, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, if you have any, just email me. Rick@savoiamedia.com. Rick@savoiamedia.com. The website is right down here. Drinkwithrick.com. You can actually, there's a form there at drinkwithrick.com. You can contact me there. And of course, if you are interested in any promotional opportunities, advertising opportunities, hey, I'm looking for sponsors too. I'm doing this on no budget. And having said that, yeah, I'm sure you're wondering, well, what about this set? Well, yes, I have been making some changes to the set. And as I mentioned earlier, that was one reason why we started a little bit late with the audio, or what I thought was an audio issue. It turned out there was no audio issue. It was just on my end. I couldn't hear the audio coming through, or the audio coming back through from Facebook and YouTube, because I didn't have everything set up properly on my end here. That was because I had been, if you'd seen the photos from earlier this week, that I had added the new desk. I've made a couple other little tweaks to the set. So, and we're continuing to do this. We're doing this as we go along. This is sort of a work in progress. I'm not, I don't have a lot of money here to spend on this. This is not a big budget production. I'm just a one-man show. And I'm just doing this for fun. As I said before, I'm just doing it for fun. This is just a labor of love, just doing my thing, having a good time. And I hope you're having a good time watching this, enjoying this as well, because I've had a great time doing this. We will be making some other changes, hopefully next week. I will have made some further tweaks to this, and we'll have a second camera online again that works. And I'm going to make some serious changes with it. But it was because of that, because I made those changes before with the set, that I had to disconnect everything and then reconnect everything, put it all back together. And that's why everything wasn't completely back together in time for the stream tonight. So I was still working on that. However, it's working now. It seems to be working now. And I did remember to press the record button. So I'm recording this episode. So we're good. Anyway, it's about time to close the stream for the night. I really hate to do this, because I really get into this. I really enjoy what I'm doing, and I get into the wine. Of course, as I start going down into the bottle, it gets more fun. It gets funner as I go along. And, that's why I try not to look at too many of the comments on YouTube. I'll stay on Facebook where it's safe. anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining me on this wine stream. I really do. I really appreciate you hanging around and watching this. And even if you're not watching while it's live, of course, you can always pick it up after It's finished. You can always check it out later. And of course, the podcast, Drink with Rick podcast at drinkwithrick.com. We're on Stitcher. We're on, where are we? We are on blueberry.com. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y without the E's in it. We're on Spotify. We're on TuneIn. In fact, if, you know, if you have a, I don't want to start your Echo here, but if you have an Amazon Echo, you can say, Alexa, play Drink with Rick podcast, and she should be able to play the Drink with Rick podcast on demand. If you have a Google Home or a Google Podcast, you can Google Home, you can say, you know, Google Play Drink with Rick. You know, we're on pretty much most of those major venues and platforms and outlets. So you can hear it anytime on demand, pretty much. And so you don't have to watch the wine stream if you don't want to, if you don't want to do it. But hey, it's always more fun to watch if you can. And you know, like I said, we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook. I posted on Twitter after the fact, but I'm trying to get to the point where I can coordinate it so I can get it on Twitter at the same time. Instagram, you can catch us on Instagram. Drink with Rick. It's all Drink with Rick. Twitter is at Drink with Rick. Facebook page, you can watch us live on the Facebook page, except for tonight. I did post on the Facebook page tonight. At Drink with Rick. And, of course, at www.drinkwithrick.com, as you can see down below here, right there. So I want to thank everyone for joining me tonight. I hope you'll join me again next week. It's time to go now. I'm probably going to finish some of this dinner. You know, I never did get to open the pizzelles, and I should probably open one now, as a matter of fact. I probably will do that. Pizzelles is an Italian cookie, and there's a story behind some of this, but I'm not going to go into that tonight because it's late, but I will, I'll try to remember to do that later. And these are good, by the way. Great cookies. P-I-Z-Z-E-L-L-E, pizzelles. And, yeah, I'll go into that in a future wine stream. That's a lot of fun. But lore, history with that. Anyway, I hope you all have a great evening. Have a great week. Have a safe week. So that you can all come back here next week for the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.